Welcome to episode 68 of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
Frank T. Biscuit, and we're one episode away
from his favorite episode.
Exactly. Hope it's a good one, because usually 69s are.
So what if we skip 69 and just go to 70?
Yeah.
Is that like...
I ain't coming over.
It'll be like podcast blue balls?
Yes. You know, like a tease.
Wait, who's teasing who here?
I don't care.
It's just weird. So, how's it going?
It's good. It's been a fun week as far as news.
Yep.
And this past weekend.
It was a really good weekend this past weekend.
Yeah.
We had Mark's baby shower.
It's not a baby shower.
It's not a baby shower.
Beers, barbecue, and baby diapers. That's not a shower.
Yeah.
Whatever. Women have baby showers.
Yeah, whatever. We didn't have clothes.
Whatever makes you feel more like a man and you want to call it.
It's not feeling like a man. It wasn't a baby shower.
Yeah.
Okay, but
Baby shower is what my wife is having next week. That's a baby shower.
Yeah.
Whatever, guys.
This was beer, barbecue, and baby diapers.
Damn good barbecue.
Yes,
Shower involved, okay? Whatever you and Matt did in the 3 hours y'all were there before I got there, if y'all showered each other, whatever. So maybe that's the shower you're thinking
of. Hey, just because Matt was smelling like Irish Spring doesn't mean anything.
Irish Spring.
You know.
I have in my bathroom.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Why do you know that?
Exactly.
Because I think it's the same one I use.
Oh, see? That's even worse. So on that note, y'all showered each other. Way to go.
I guess it was a shower then.
Yes, it was.
So a lot happening, but we're going to kick off this show with a segment first before we get into news. Download this. Here it is. What have you guys watched or downloaded lately?
Watched or downloaded. I've actually started watching. I know you guys don't watch anime, but for part of my masterclass with Chuck Huber, we have to dub the first episode of Soul Eater. So I've been watching some Soul Eater on YouTube. And Chuck played Stein. It's a character that you find later on in the series. So it's something that pertains to what he's done, and we thought he'd really enjoy us putting together something like that. I don't know what character I'm going to voice, but it's a fun series, you know?
That's funny. I'll go next on Download This. I've actually been watching some of Star Trek Continues.
Oh, okay.
Which involves Chuck Huber, of course. Friend of the show. I'll say he's a friend
since he's been
on our show before. And it's a fan-based YouTube series that people don't know that continues where the original Star Trek series left off at the end of Season 3. And it's all self-produced and done by fundraising and crowdfunding and things like that, and Chuck Huber plays Dr. McCoy in it, and I haven't watched every episode. I've picked and choose, and it varies from the acting from being kind of not so good to really good. Like, Chuck's really good in it, and but storytelling wise man, whoever's writing these scripts for Star Trek Continues are really well done, and set wise it's amazingly done. It looks like they stepped right back into the 1960s, and so I've been watching some of that somewhat for research purposes, because at Comic Palooza, which we're going to talk about in a minute, I'm sure Chuck will be there. He always is. Sure. And so I'm doing it for some research purposes, so if we can we interview him again. And other than that, the only thing I've watched on Netflix, I watched Kubo and the Two Strings.
Okay.
Which kind of went under the radar last year. A lot of people didn't see it. But this tells me the Academy doesn't really watch their screeners, and they just vote for what's popular. And that's why Zootopia won Best Animated Picture, because this is a way better film than Zootopia. It's good enough that it could have been nominated against live-action films. That's how good I think Kubo and the Two Strings was. And excellent film. It's now on Netflix. It's weird. It's not showing up in the recently added or new releases. I had to search for it, which was kind of weird, because it just went on Netflix last week. But that's
really
something I've watched.
Under the radar.
Before we get into Compluser, so Frank, what have you downloaded or streamed lately?
Also on Netflix, like most of us, because we all have Netflix, David Chappelle. His Netflix.
That was your one last week or two weeks ago.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
Was it? Well,
two weeks ago you picked Dave Chappelle.
No, because I don't remember watching it last week. The other thing was Rogue One. I watched a digital copy.
Everyone's watched Rogue One lately. So speaking of Comicpalooza, we are once again part of the Comicpalooza podcast
partnership.
So Rebel Radio will be bringing coverage of the show along on our website, trustmeimajaya.com, as we get ready for this year's event, which is May 12th, 13th, and 14th at the George R. Brown Convention Center. And we always record live at the show, and we will be doing so again this year, pending delivery of my baby daughter. But it looks like Compalooza should be a go, I think, unless things change drastically in the next few weeks. And so, yeah. So we're proud to be a part of that again. Compalooza.com is where you can go get all your info about Compalooza. And they made a few announcements lately about some guests. Anthony Mackie, who plays the Falcon in the Avengers and Captain America. Well, has he been in an Avengers movie yet? No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. He was in Age of Ultron, wasn't he?
He was also in Civil War. I mean,
I know he's in Civil War.
Sorry, Winter Soldier.
And well, those are Captain America movies. That's not an Avenger movie yet.
Oh.
He was in Age of Ultron, wasn't he?
No.
No.
He never fought in it. No.
So he's not an Age of Ultron.
He's only been in the Captain America stuff.
You're right.
So how did he not? How was he?
He's a Captain America character right now.
Who's an Ant-Man?
No, you know what? He does appear in Age of Ultron at the end of the movie.
That doesn't count.
With the new Avengers.
Oh,
he is in the film.
Yeah, he
he's
is in the film.
Sokovia with him and all that.
He is in the film.
Yeah, he's in Avengers, Age of Ultron. Yeah.
I don't think he's in Sokovia.
No, he's not in Sokovia.
Yeah, he's definitely at the end whenever they have to train the new Avengers.
Yeah, but he's in the film.
Yeah,
okay.
But that's... Nah.
And Scott Glenn, or wait, no, not Scott Glenn. God damn it. What's the guy who plays Herschel, his name?
Oh.
Herschel?
Hold on, I'm on from The Walking Dead.
Scott Wilson.
Scott Glenn's stick from Daredevil. Scott Wilson. Played Herschel in The Walking Dead. So that's a big pickup. You know, he's a very popular actor. Scott Wilson's been along for a long time, been around for a long time, and done a lot of stuff over the years. So I'm sure he'll draw some people. And
Boy Meets World, Will Friedle.
No one cares.
My wife was like, oh, I'm going now.
And then,
I'm going now. Will Friedle's there. And then, I'm like, oh, that's who.
So she'll go for like 30 minutes to get his autograph and then leave. She never, she comes, but she stays.
She don't want to stick around for long.
And then she like, sorry, I'm going to give her a hard time, but they kind of like ruins the other half of the day for you. Because then she's like,
what are we going?
We need to go.
Well, you know, we know she doesn't deal well with crowds. And then today they announced Ming Chen, of course. Friend of the show for sure. He's been on Rebel Radio 3 times, so he's more interviews on him than anybody else we've ever interviewed.
So what are we going to ask him this year?
I'm working on the expert Ming Chen interview. Of course, Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men. And James and Bob's Secret Stash.
Be like, so, have you been reading any comic books lately?
like, are you going to be in Jay and Silent Bob reboot? Are we going to finally see your debut acting? So, I don't know. But, Compalooza 2017. Hopefully they announce more. They announced a couple of the girls from The Flash are going to be there. The girl plays Iris and the Doctor.
Defenders speed passes up for...
they're having... the guy who's playing Luke Cage and Finn Jones, who plays Iron Fist, is there.
And the girl that plays the Asian girl with the school.
That's in Iron Fist?
Yeah. She's going to be there.
She's so cute.
She is. She's
and
cute.
Maybe we'll get more. Maybe we'll get Charlie Cox and what's the girl who plays Jessica Jones? I can't think of the actress's name. Maybe we'll get them. We'll have the full four-fecta. That's not really a word.
Hopefully that'll be the big one of the big panels.
Yeah. So, Compalooza 2017, we'll keep you updated every week as what's going on in Compalooza as we get closer, as we are part of the Compalooza podcast partnership. Oh,
what if they also get, what's his name, as the Punisher? He shows up too.
Thomas Jane?
You and I definitely get some autographs in, are we?
Yes.
Getting some Punisher shit signed. I don't
James
care.
James Bernthal.
Yeah.
I always want to say, to me, the Punisher is Thomas Jane.
Yeah.
Especially from that short, Dirty Laundry.
Well, I like Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren.
So speaking of, that's a good segue into Marvel. A lot of Marvel stuff going on lately. Of course, we're going to talk about the Thor trailer in a minute. You know, the new trailer for Thor. But there's been some Marvel controversy this week. Have y'all followed this? What's going on with X-Men Gold?
Nah, I read a little bit when you brought it up.
Interesting. Yeah. The artist whose name is, I'm probably going to say this wrong. Forgive me, but I'm not Arabic and know how to say names. But Ardian Saif. And he hid... apparently political propaganda in X-Men Gold number one. And,
not just political, but religious.
Well, a little dealing bit of both. With political things.
Yeah, right. It had to deal with protest and something that happened on a specific date. I guess there was a big protest and things. It's interesting because Marvel came out and they caught it. They're pulling the books and they're going to reprint it. And they've already pulled it from the digital editions. And what he did was he put some numbers in the book. One was 212, and the other one was like 0515. I think that was referring to the date.
That is the passage from the Quran,
right?
That talks about like the friend, like it talks about like friends and enemies.
Right. And from his standpoint, he believes that he was promoting messages of justice and love. And, you know, and maybe it's one of those odd, this is one of those odd instances where it's not on one side, someone believes it's right. The other side believes it's wrong. And, I don't think, from what I read about, he didn't necessarily mean to cause any trouble. I don't think he meant any violent things about it. It was just something he believed in. And I'm curious how it got past Marvel's editors, first off.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Or maybe they just saw numbers and didn't think of it. But you would think an editor would be like, well, why does this say 0515 here or whatever? You know, mm-hmm. It is.
Maybe because they're not so looking into the...
From a PR standpoint, Marvel has fired him. And I see why they did it, because, you know, it's just not good publicity. Doesn't make it right they fired him. No, maybe he could have been disciplined, who knows, because he's openly came out and said, hey, I know my career is over, I made a mistake, and he's apologized for it. And my thing with this is, it's, and I don't want to get into the political aspects of it, that's what I'm trying to get, but, like, you know, why, it's just funny how people take things, you know. It's like, we can have a chick in a comic book with huge boobs or whatever,
yeah,
and no one blinks an eye, but this guy does something that's really relatively harmless, because the three of us would have looked at that comic and not going to looked it up, what it meant.
Yeah.
And there's an outrage over it, and the guy loses his job and is probably blacklisted. And but at the same time, is comics the right medium for it? You know, there's other medium for those kind of things. And mm-hmm. and I just found it interesting that Marvel's standpoint on how they just simply fired him, but we don't know what happened behind closed doors. Maybe behind closed doors he said, look, you know, he openly admitted he did it, he said it was, maybe he stayed by his beliefs, and if he did stay by his beliefs, more power to him. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
can't fault him
he
for
has that.
That
right, you know. And it's just interesting because, you know, Marvel is doing great in the movie world, but they're struggling on the comics end. DC Comics has really kicked some ass, and Marvel's sales are way down. And some of that is because they let the X-Men books go, because their whole issues with 20th Century Fox over Fantastic Four and all that. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to relaunch the X-Men and bring the X-Men back, and then this happens. So it's one of those cases where it's probably good PR in the end for them, because now people are trying to get this copy of X-Men Gold unedited, because it's already shut up, you know, $25,
$30. It's going to be a collector's edition.
Well, they said something about how his artwork is still going to be in 3 and 4.
In the next couple issues, yeah, because most of the time they have these books, they're ready to go for 3 or 4 issues.
But here's my thing. We're in an era of where everybody demands diversity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hire somebody that's Muslim, they're going to put some of their beliefs in it. Just like if you hire a gay or lesbian person, they're going to change characters and put some of their feelings into their comics that they do. You can't say, like, oh, we should have diversity, and then when people do stuff that's diverse, complain about it.
And that's been one of the other... People have actually brought that up about Marvel lately, saying that some of their problem with their sales is they're not diverse enough. And I don't know where this comes from, because I don't keep up with comics like I used to, but you're right. They've made Ms. Marvel is a Muslim lady, and it's been a very popular book. They have very popular characters like Luke Cage, Black Panther. They made Miles Morales, the very famous other Spider-Man, is a young black man.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure why people think that diversity is a problem with Marvel, but you're right. They branch out and they hire artists and other people from different races, various religions or whatever. You have to take what comes with it. And I almost want to defend Saif that maybe he should have been given a second chance. But like we said, we don't know what happened behind closed doors.
Now, is he just an artist, or is he also a writer for it?
He's just an artist.
Okay.
You know, and so he put this in his art. And as art, should we be open to other ideals as Americans? Because that is the American dream and ideal, is to be open to ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe,
I think so, under the whole freedom of speech.
And they should have maybe let this go, disciplined, and said, hey, you know, you're suspended for a month or whatever. We'll find someone else to fill in issue 5 or whatever, and you can come back. And but again, we don't know what happened behind closed doors, and is this a domino effect where it affects other artists and what they will put in the books? You know,
because mm-hmm. I'd be afraid to put in books.
I guarantee he's probably not the first one that's ever did it. And if it got past the Marvel editors, how much else has gotten past Marvel editors? You know, are people going to start looking for stuff in books? You know,
right? This was actually a call out from other people who caught it, and
they brought it up. So interesting going ons at Marvel, and hopefully, because I was looking at some of the art. The guy's art's really good.
Yeah.
And I hope he's given another chance maybe to draw comics for a company, even if it's a small press company, you know, because that kind of talent is rare to have that ability to draw something really cool and really and can bring you know, attention to something that people may have not seen, because ultimately comics are for kids. And you know, a young man like my son or your son, they're not going to open up the X-Men book and notice that. They're just going to think, oh, Wolverine, that's cool, you know, or whoever.
And I don't think he did something that he thought was going to kill his career.
No. Mm-mm. He was doing something he truly believed in.
Right.
That's the way it turned out. So, oh, well. So, let's talk about something fun. The Thor trailer. Thor Ragnarok hit. You used the word fun when he texted about it. And, you know, man, I'm like in the minority on this. I'm not digging this trailer that much. I really like the joke at the end.
Yeah.
I think that's great. Oh, it's a friend from work. Oh, no. That's really awesome. It's great timing in the trailer. But, man, it's like, it looks like, Frank, you said it looks like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I felt like I was watching a Guardians trailer.
And I guess the idea behind that is they're trying to get all their space stuff to look similar and everything.
But the whole movie, and, the whole trailer felt like a Guardians movie.
Well, I know
movie.
This director is kind of, they got is known for kind of real colorful films and stuff. And it's definitely a colorful film from the looks of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what throws it off for me, if it's the Zeppelin song or what. I mean, I'm going to watch the shit out of it. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to see Thor Ragnarok. But just the trailer, other than the last 40 seconds, the trailer just didn't, like, I wasn't as excited as everyone else. I think we had better trailers last week with War for the Planet of the Apes and Spider-Man. You know? This is a cool trailer, but the idea of Ragnarok is the destruction of Asgard. And if that happens in this, it just feels like the movie should be a little darker. And maybe they're going to sell the dark parts of it in the next trailer. Maybe we're judging this one too unfairly,
or maybe they're just showing us all the bright parts, and then
I saw a lot of people on the internet were like really excited about it, and I was like, yeah, it's cool. And maybe it's also coming from the first two Thor films have been the weaker Marvel Studios films, so maybe I'm not having high expectations for Thor Ragnarok. And but the idea of playing a Hulk looks cool.
Yeah.
Anybody, feel free to chime in. I feel like I'm just talking to the wall.
No. I was caught by, you know, the first scene whenever his hammer's destroyed.
See, I always have a problem with Thor's hammer being destroyed. I always felt like it'd just be one of those things, other than maybe like getting punched by the Infinity Gauntlet and just getting destroyed that way. I almost feel like there shouldn't be anything else that could destroy it.
No, there shouldn't, but in the comics,
I know it's been destroyed like four times or something.
Four times. A destroyer, which he actually fought in the first Thor. His laser sight actually cut through his hammer, and like in the comics back then.
Wasn't there like a Molecule Man or something?
Molecule Man broke it apart and then reassembled it.
You know, so that's just my thing. It kind of takes away from the whole myth and power of the thing when it gets destroyed. It's kind of like, and then it's just not really a godlike tool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's really weird to see Jeff Goldblum in Thor.
One thing. He almost felt like the Collector. Like, that's what made the whole thing feel like Guardians of the Galaxy, because his character was just cartoonish.
I wonder if they're cartoonish. From the same race. I wonder that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, him and the Collector.
Because that's what he felt like, the Collector. I was like, I know it's not the same same character, but...
Cate Blanchett looks badass.
Yes.
You know? And for such a classically trained actress who's been nominated for Oscars and stuff, she'll do cool stuff. You know, she did Lord of the Rings and she's doing this. You know, she's not afraid to do genre stuff.
Well, no, because they want to have fun too.
It's kind of funny how Universal Pictures, you know, they still own the Hulk rights for movies, right? Mm-hmm. And similar to the Sony deal, Marvel Studios uses the Hulk in their films and stuff. And Universal, though, won't make a Hulk film, without... You know, they just don't want to do it. They're like, you can use Hulk, but we're not making a film and distributing it for you. So, because Marvel went to Universal, really wanted to do Planet Hulk, and they basically like, no, we're not doing it. So they're like, well, fuck you. We're going to do Planet Hulk inside Thor Ragnarok. Obviously, it'll be kind of a scaled-down version of it from the looks of it. But we still get that gladiator match from the looks of it.
Heck yeah, dude.
And Hulk looks pretty cool. You know?
He's got his armor on.
And I do wish it didn't have such a video game look to it, the trailer. And that's my one thing with it. It's very video game-ish. I don't have a problem with the space looking like Guardians of the Galaxy. I can see them wanting the universe to look similar.
And what was with the 80s font on the title?
Yeah, I was going for like a retro vibe. I guess because of Stranger Things, it's like, that's cool now. You know, let's look like
yeah, I was the 1980s. Like, have I seen a trailer for Flash Gordon or one of those?
But I hope it... You know, I hope it comes out cool. I think that's the biggest thing for me. I don't have high expectations for it because the Thor films have not been the best Marvel films.
Great. They've been, I feel like they've been solid.
Yeah.
Solid films.
But I don't think I'd put either one of the Thor films in the top 10 Marvel Studios.
No.
You know, they'd be towards the bottom half, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that maybe this one is that one that, you know.
And it ain't because of the actors. It ain't because of the character.
No. You know, everybody talks about Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans when they leave their roles. I almost will miss Chris Hemsworth more. Because how many other big blonde guys that have the accent and can play Thor have that look?
Yeah, None right now, really.
Downey Jr. could be replaced, I really do think. And
Clay Matthews?
And Evans, but Clay Matthews, really? That's just him. He can stick the football and smashing quarterbacks. Okay. So, you know, I think Hemsworth will be just as missed. And, you know, so any other thoughts on Thor Ragnarok?
No,
I don't have any.
You're supposed to keep talking.
Okay.
dead air.
But, I looked up what other times his, you know, his hammer was destroyed in the, in the Marvel comics, surprised that it was broken so many times. Similar to Cap's shield, whenever we had this conversation, whenever Captain America's shield.
But Captain's shield wasn't made by the gods as a, you know what I mean? It's just a human shield in a sense.
It was reformed by Thor.
Yeah, but that's still not made by the gods. It's made by humans. You know, using whatever material they're using in the current realm of Marvel Studios.
Do another trailer that hit. Did y'all watch the trailer for Atomic Blonde?
With Charlize Theron? No, I watched the new one.
Man, no.
I have not.
Charlize Theron has a lesbian scene in this movie, Frank.
Heck yeah, and they showed even more of it in this trailer.
So, no knock on lesbians, but lesbian stuff doesn't do anything for me. Because I come from the world of, like, lesbians have no interest in a man whatsoever. If they were bisexual chicks, then maybe.
It's Charlize Theron.
But she is bi.
That's right.
What is she bi?
She's bi, what's this movie by?
Charlize Theron as an assassin.
Yes.
And with a lesbian scene. That's those two items alone is enough to watch the movie. And it's from the director David Leitch, who was the co-director on John Wick 1. And, of course, his partner made John Wick 2. He didn't have any involvement in John Wick 2 because he's been filming this. And it's actually based on a graphic novel from Ani Press. And so I think it looks really cool. It's not, from the trailer's not as stylized as John Wick. And I think we can see that the guy who made John Wick 2, he must have had more of the style that he brought to the first one. But it definitely has an action.
Wasn't there a movie called Atomic Blonde made in the 70s or something?
I don't know. I wasn't born yet till 76, so.
I said 70s.
That's 70s. I don't know.
And he's like, I wasn't born yet. That would be like, I wasn't born till the 80s. Mac can use that excuse, not you.
But it looks really cool.
Well, I was born in 86.
So. No. I said in the 70s. Oh. Mark's all like, I wasn't born yet.
Oh, yeah. So I'm like,
Mark, well, Mac can use that excuse.
I mean, it might have been. But, I'm all over this movie. I think it looks great.
It looks good.
Just because of a lesbian scene.
And then when we recorded 2 weeks ago, right when we were done recording, the It trailer hit.
Yes.
No, I don't do clowns. Not going.
I don't like how they portrayed it.
I'm totally going to go and see it.
Well,
all puns intended.
I know. I'm going to, I mean, I guess I'll see it, maybe. I can definitely see that, you know, they're going to turn it from this clown that psychologically terrorizes you, you know, as far as, you know, and you know, the original Tim Curry, would give that little bit of monster, like, you know, he'd flash his teeth, all of a sudden he'd look like a clown, like a creepy clown, and then he'd have teeth. This one, you know, the dialogue, it's like he comes out of the shower, you know, and he's like, blah, 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 blah.
But it was also kind of goofy, though, too.
He was, you know.
Now, see, I'm hoping they actually do this as a two-part movie.
Beep, beep, Georgie!
When it was made for TV, the first hit, it was actually a two-parter. You dealt with them as kids in the first half, and then the second half as adults. Maybe. And I hope they almost do this in the same thing. I hope they don't try to cram the childhood and the adult part into one movie. It really needs to be two parts, definitely not three, because three is just kind of pushing it. So I think it's just going to be a really good two-part movie.
I think it's going to suck.
I don't.
I just don't do scary clowns.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not happening.
They don't. It's not something that has to be overthought.
Yes,
it's a clown scaring the piss out of people
in
the
theater.
It's
Stephen King. You know? There's a 1,040-page book that I read that is about Pennywise the Clown and these kids. I mean, there's a lot of thought that goes into the story, and it just seems like they're oversimplifying it as a monster clown movie.
Well, and unfortunately, for the theater, that's what it is.
Well, unfortunately, they do that with a lot of books. Yeah. I mean, you know, they have to scale it down and make it fit in a two-hour film. And, you know, not everything can be Lord of the Rings, where you can stretch out over three. I mean, Lord of the Rings, honestly, you do right. You have to do it like four or five films. You know, or
skip some stuff.
Yeah, you know.
This is a horror movie.
And that's a problem anytime you take a 1,000-page book and you put it into a film. You're going to simplify it. And you're right, and that's why The Stand has never been properly done, because it's a long, complicated book.
Yeah, they tried to do it with Lieutenant Dan. It didn't work.
Right. Well, actually, the TV version wasn't terrible, The Stand.
But it was long.
For the limitations of television, it did what it could do.
See, that would almost have to be like a one-year miniseries, like on a Netflix or something.
Well, there were a few years ago.
Like 10 episodes.
Well, a few years ago, that almost happened. They were talking about a Stan TV series where it was like going to be on HBO or something, and
you know,
it never did occur.
There's a character, pronounce it Flag. He's a recurring character in a lot of Stephen King's books. He's this wizard, like sorcerer character, mm-hmm. that just lived throughout centuries, and his whole thing is manipulating people and controlling the powers that be. And his character was actually the one that manipulated and controlled the whole outbreak, you know, for it to happen.
Okay.
And he's in these other books. Was it the Dark Towers?
Oh, the Dark Tower series.
Yeah, he's in those. He's in Dragon's Eye, and where he manipulates the kingdom and the brothers, you know, who become king and stuff and control them. So he's a recurring. I almost wish they would just do a series. And just call it the Flag series and just
That's another
and you can do all of those stories.
People forget's coming out this year is the Dark Tower movie.
Yeah.
And
I saw
but
that.
But you know, from what I heard is they showed some footage at CineCon and it wasn't well received, the Dark Tower film. And you know, it went through a lot of rewrites and a lot of pre production problems getting actors to stick with it, and they finally got Matthew McConaughey and Idris Elba in it. And I wonder if that affected the film through all the.
It might, because my aunt and my cousin are into Stephen King, and they really like the Dark Tower books.
They were popular.
So I think my cousin even read the comic books, but he really just likes the novels the most.
I read a lot of his like flagship stuff: Tommyknockers, Langoliers,
right?
Cat's Eye, Cujo.
Love Cat's Eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That creeped me out when I was a kid.
We can reminisce over Stephen King all day long. Hey, The Wraith wasn't Stephen King, was it?
No.
It's like in that vein of his movies, though.
Yeah.
I noticed this on Netflix now.
Yeah.
That old 80s movie. Anyway, so, you know, Matt and I, we just recorded a new episode of Remnants of the Rebellion, our Star Wars podcast, and we did a pre-celebration. So we hit a little Star Wars news here. We're expecting The Last Jedi trailer in the next couple days, and yes. Obviously on the next episode of Remnants and the next episode of Rebel Radio, we'll be talking to the trailer. And but last night, the Battlefront 2 trailer leaked out.
Oh, that was cool.
Now they're saying that, you know, they've come out and said, you know, EA is like, get your first look at Battlefront, look for the full reveal this weekend. So was it a leak, or was it purposely a teaser trailer? We'll get more this weekend. And man, it's only like 30 seconds, but the first, you know, I have the first Battlefront on the PlayStation 4, and it's fun, but it, like,
backstory,
it's that, no campaign, it's all online. Mm-hmm. This looks like they're going to open it up more. The Clone Wars looks to be in it, Darth Maul Episode 1 stuff, prequel stuff, and Force Awakens stuff. It looks like they're going to open up more, and rumor is there definitely will be a single-player mode this time.
Wow.
And but the trailer was cool because just, like, graphically, I think the first game looks fantastic. This game looks even better, and it's only 30 seconds of footage.
But it's also the CGI action scenes. I want, like, actual game footage.
But, honestly,
the first one looked great, so I just want to see if they improved.
But that's the thing. When I play Battlefront, the cinema scenes are all blended with the game, so I don't know where you say there were CGI scenes.
They were CGI scenes. They were just the cinema scenes.
Everything I watched.
I want to see the actual
into the
what
game.
It looks like when you play it.
So, you know.
You know? I'm not saying I want to see if they improve. Like you said, the first one looks great. I just want to see if they stepped it up and actually improved it. And this numbnuts here, he doesn't own any of the next gen systems, so he doesn't even know what we're talking about of how much fun it was actually to play Star Wars. He probably wet his pants.
Matt likes his retro gaming, and that's okay.
I played Battlefront whenever it was on other systems.
No. We're talking about the new one.
Before it was Battlefront.
Yeah.
We're talking about the new one.
And I was a heavy trooper.
So.
Because you were fat doesn't mean nothing.
It is time for our little game we play, and before we get into movies of our lives, continuing on to 1991, so far everyone's won one. I have a victory. Frank has
two
victories.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt finally got a victory. So, Matt, you were the victor last time, so you get to pick this week's face-off. And for people that don't know, it might be their first time listening to the show, what we do is we give a topic. It can be Indiana Jones versus James Bond. It can be
grilled cheese versus pizza.
Yeah, it could be
pizza.
Yeah. And whoever calls it first gets to go. They have about 2 minutes. We're not officially time it to explain why grilled cheese is better than pizza cheese or whatever.
And, so I pick pizza. I get to go first.
And, the person who picks their topics decides the winner, and the person who wins gets to pick next show. All right, so it is time for Face Off.
Cass, you want to take his face?
Yes.
His face.
Okay, guys. After I finish saying the last character's name, you do your stuff. You choose one. Today, it's going to be a tight race because I'm choosing Jason Todd versus Frank Castle.
Frank Castle. BH. Whoever that other guy is.
Wow, those characters are so far apart.
No, they're not. They're very similar. One may have a little bit more gadgets, depending on which comic.
Which Jason Todd are we talking about?
We're talking about Red Hood, Jason
Todd.
Okay,
you have to clarify this. Okay.
Reason why I picked Frank is, for so many reasons, and I really don't know that much about the other characters, I could argue would have been like, yeah. So, do I go first? Mark goes first? Who gets to go first?
You can go first, since you said.
Okay. I'm really not going to go on why Frank Castle is better than the other guy. I'm just going to go why I like Frank Castle. I like it. Here is a former military guy. You know, some versions, he's an officer of the law, you know, gets targeted by the mob. And instead of killing him, they kill his family, which then sends him over the deep end. You know, he finally realizes that all this time of putting the bad guys behind bars just isn't cutting it. You try to follow the system. The system's broken. They keep letting these guys out. You know, whether it's, you know, just misplacement of stuff that will convict them or plead bargains. You know, they're always back out on the streets causing more harm to the people. So he's just at the point of like, screw it. You throw a piece of paper on the ground, I'm going to put a bullet in your head type mentality. Mm-hmm. Maybe not that extreme, but that's the way it is. And he doesn't have to have, you know, a back signal thrown up in the air. He doesn't have to have fancy gadgets. It's basically, he'll take you down with a revolver if he has to. You know, hide in the darkness, come out, beat the shit out of you, take a ass whipping himself, and then eventually just drop you. He'll take a few rounds, but, you know, he's basically a super soldier in the sense without having any of the jacked up superpowers. You know, he's just that average guy that anybody who's just had enough of the shit will go out and do. Whether it's right or wrong, you know, you just can only take so much.
So that's your argument. You gave us the origin of Frank Castle.
So I said, what is there to argue? You know, it is what it is.
There's a lot to argue.
Jason Todd may have not been the most popular Robin when he was Robin, but he was trained by Batman, Bruce Wayne, one of the most efficient detective badasses in the world. And Jason Todd was killed by the Joker and brought back to life through the Lazarus Pit. And he used his skills to form them and create an assassin model of himself, where he took on the mantle of the Red Hood, bringing himself up through the crime world, bringing down people like Black Mask and others to their knees, because Jason Todd started taking over his own part of Gotham. And he came back looking for revenge on Batman, blaming Batman for what he did. And he took Batman toe-to-toe, unlike a lot of people could do, and almost could have killed Batman if he didn't realize that Batman's right all these times, that, you know, you can't kill. You have to do things the right way. And Jason Todd has used those skills he learned through Batman now to help run Red Hood and the Outlaws in the comics, and has trying to better himself in Gotham by doing things a little bit more hardcore than Batman does, because he still has that edge to him. But Jason Todd always had the edge, which is what got him killed initially, because he was a little brat sometimes and didn't listen. But that skill set, combined with the things he's learned from Batman, has made him a force to be reckoned with. And I think he could take on the Punisher quite easily if he wanted to. In a head-to-head battle, I think that Jason Todd could outsmart the Punisher, because guns and blowing things up doesn't always get you everywhere. No. Sometimes you can be outsmarted, and I think Jason Todd has those skills to outsmart Punisher, just like he almost did to the Batman.
I'm sorry, Frank.
Oh, I'm not going to argue, because like I said, I know nothing about this other character, because I don't read Batman stuff.
I think the Punisher would have, like, Jason Todd down, like, pinned down, but then Todd would find a way to get in close and use his martial arts.
Well, somebody would have given us a reason why he's bad, so it's just the origin. Everyone knows Frank Castle's origin. So it's 2-2, bitch.
I was hoping you'd give me, like, the comic, the Ultimates edition, whenever he had all that high-tech stuff, and he was trying to catch Superman or Spider-Man and stuff like that.
But see, I don't like all the high-tech stuff. I like the, give me a freaking AK, give me a bulletproof vest, give me a shotgun, give me a 9mm, 40 caliber, 45, whatever, yeah. Frank Castle. I don't want Frank Castle Batman. It's fucking Batman.
All right, man.
And they're like, I'm the Punisher. You know, I'm the Punisher. You know, I mean, who's he going to call up? Off to the Punisher cave.
That was a tough one, man. Jason Todd is so far apart from Frank Castle in some ways.
Yeah, in some ways. It's like, if he... That's what I was like. It could have been a draw if you would have presented the right Punisher.
But that I don't like that other Punisher. Well, I like the dirty, gritty bullshit and go to the freaking gun store, grab my shit, and go and kill some assholes.
Well, on the last show, we... that went well. On the last show, we started this internet trend where people are posting their favorite movie for every year of their life. They tend to do it on Facebook, social media. So we're like, well, fuck it. Let's do that for the show, right? And so we started last episode in 1974, because Frank is the oldest member. So we started the year he was born.
Okay, keep bringing that shit up,
I came along in 76. Matt came along in 86. And we went up to 1990 last time, so we're going to start 91, and we're going to finish these off today. We're going to go all the way to 2017, so we're going to go through these kind of quick, but we'll pause now and then. For 1991, I know you motherfuckers both picked Terminator 2. I already know.
Hell yeah, dude.
I went in a little different direction and chose Point Break, just because I like Point Break a lot. I love Terminator 2 also, but Point Break is just a movie.
Point Break didn't have a cool soundtrack either, man.
And I'm going to stay right with me, since I know y'all picked Terminator 2. In 1992, I have The Last of Mohicans, still one of my all-time favorite films. 92, Matt.
I'm going to go horror, since we were talking horror before, and pick Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Really?
Yeah.
It's so boring, though.
I like, you know, I thought it was boring whenever I was little. And then now I watch it. I really like Gary Oldman.
See, I think if Bela Lugosi's original black and white 1933 or whatever it was, Dracula didn't exist, Bram Stoker's would be better. But that original Dracula 1934 is so good and classic. It's just like... I don't think they'll ever make a Dracula film like that again. I know they're trying with this new Universal Monsters universe, but you know they're going to make it more of a horror-style Dracula when they get around to do it. They're not going to do it classic. But Bram Stoker's Dracula is not bad.
No.
It's just like it's just kind of boring. It's hard to watch.
It is.
It is dragging on. So 92, Frank.
Wayne's World, party time, excellent.
Okay, so we're on to 93.
And side note, Lethal Weapon 3, because I just like Lethal Weapon 3.
Yeah.
I like the Lethal Weapon movies, but I think that's the weakest of the four.
I think we all picked the same one for that 93, right?
Probably not. What do you have for 93?
Jurassic Park.
No.
Really? Nope. What? You don't have Jurassic Park?
Nope. I'm not a big Jurassic Park fan.
It's the box office.
I like the latest one more than I like the other three put together.
I enjoy Jurassic Park, but I enjoy Tombstone more in 93.
Oh, yeah. Tombstone.
Tombstone I love. You know.
I went with True Romance.
I'm your Huckleberry.
True Romance?
Yep.
All right. 94, Frank, stick with you.
Stargate. Yeah. It led to one of my favorite TV franchises.
Stargate.
Technically, it didn't.
Yes,
because
it did.
Because the creators of Stargate had nothing to do with the TV series.
But it led to that. No. I don't think if there was a Stargate movie, there probably wouldn't have been a Stargate TV series.
94, Matt.
I went with the man that talks from his ass, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Wow. I'm not surprised.
This is one of the years I picked two. The Crow, which obvious people this show know I'm a James O'Barr fan, and Clerks.
Without Kevin Smith, I wouldn't
be doing what I'm doing right now, podcasting. So.
When I saw those movies, I was like, "Damn, Art's going to be struggling on which one to pick."
I'll stay on the mic at 95. 1995, one of my all-time, probably top three films ever, Braveheart.
Ooh.
I absolutely love Braveheart.
Yeah.
I think it's a almost masterpiece film.
See, I like Braveheart. It's like, was right there. It was like a debate. But I figured Mark would probably have that one covered. You know?
So who'd you go with?
For 95, I went with Toy Story.
Yeah?
I just wanted something fun and lighthearted.
I went
that made you feel good.
I know you're gay? Because you said fun and lighthearted.
I almost picked Toy Story. I was almost in agreement.
I know how you're
Frank.
Gay because you sucked Matt off one time.
What the hell?
I don't know. It's like,
where did that come from? I made a knocked up joke. Is that from the movie Knocked Up?
No, it's from 40-year-old Virgin.
40-year-old Virgin.
I just
wanted
just to see how I was reacting.
I picked a guilty pleasure movie, and the first time I ever saw Angelina Jolie's breasts was Hackers.
So you just like to get
hey, you know, fair enough with that. You know, we all remember those movies where
that
we
was
saw
on the other day.
Favorite actress's first time we saw her boobs. Yes. I mean, you know. 96, Matt, what do you got?
96, I have Space Jam. I went with fun for 96. I mean, Michael Jordan, he saves Bugs Bunny.
You know, though,
I just never could get into it.
When was the last time you watched it? Because we watched it not that long ago.
Maybe four years ago.
We watched it a few months ago before they took it off Netflix. And it doesn't hold up. Like there's parts
even
of
Bill
it.
Murray
are, yeah, it's just like it's it. I really thought that movie would hold up well, and it doesn't for some reason. What do you have in 96, Frank?
Twister.
Oh,
I just like one. It. I think it's just a fun movie.
We're gonna pause here. I chose The Rock. Not much to say. I just love it. I think it's Michael Bay. I know people hate on him. I still think it's his best film.
Yes.
You know, we didn't talk about Paxton much when he passed. We were busy with other stuff and we forgot. And I'll just take a moment, man. Like. Bill fucking Paxton, dude.
I watched True Lies
so
after he
awesome,
died.
Dude. I mean, yeah. Apollo 13 sitting right here on the desk. He was in Apollo 13. True Lies, Aliens, man. This guy, ultimate salute to him, man, brother. You
right.
know? Yeah. So, man, and we got to see him at Compalooza last year.
Yes.
Speaking of Compalooza, which was cool to see the Paxton.
And he's all like, I don't know if you noticed.
All right, and I want to tell a quick story. One of my buddies, Jason, who is on Compalooza, he said, I guess they in the back they have stuff that they get the actors to sign for, you know, they sell off for charities or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the actors would walk in there and just like do their business, walk out. And he said Bill Paxton was like a big kid. He's walking there like, oh, that's cool, man. I've never seen this before. Oh, that's awesome. And, like he was the only guy that took the time to enjoy what he did.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt about Bill Paxton. Like he always enjoyed what he did every day. He made movies because he loved to do it, not because it was a paycheck, you know. And so let's go into 97, Matt.
I picked The Devil's Advocate. I've been doing Keanu Reeves. I think it's a really good movie. I like
Hey, who was the girl in that movie? Was that Charlize Theron?
That was Charlize Theron.
Yeah, her boobs are in that movie.
Yeah, she
see, I always remember speaking of first time I see a boobs in a movie, 2 days in a valley, first time she ever gets naked in a movie, I was like, yes. Yeah. Or 97 Frank.
Well, my mom also has some boobs in it.
Oh,
Titanic.
Yeah. Ooh, Titanic. Rose. Yep.
I went with my Face Off, you know, which is,
yes.
I think it's a great movie, regardless of what people say.
I want to take his face.
Okay.
Because people can't suspend their belief and just enjoy a movie for what it is. 98.
I went with The Mask of Zorro, Antonio Banderas.
It's a terrible movie.
It's a good movie. I like it.
The sequel is even worse.
The sequel's horrible. The first one's good.
It's an okay movie, but okay. It's your pick, your favorite movie that year.
Yeah.
98. I went with Dark City.
Oh, Dark City.
Which
yeah.
I think is still a masterpiece years later, you know.
I also like that movie, but I went with Deep Impact. I just like the multiple storylines going on in the movie.
Mm-hmm. That was back when there was that period of like from 96
with
to
Armageddon
like 2005,
and
all these disaster
the
movies.
Oh, yeah.
But that's like one of my favorite disaster movies.
Who'd you go with in 99?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you pointed at Matt.
Staying with you.
Fight Club.
That's yeah, what I have for 1999.
Too.
Fight Club, pretty much all in agreement.
We were going to punch you if you didn't pick Fight Club.
For real?
We already know each other's list.
We're not supposed to talk about Fight Club, so we're not. We'll move on. 2000,
yes.
Matt, what you got?
2000, I have Gladiator.
Good pick.
Yes.
Still a great film.
Are you not entertained?
There's been rumors that Ridley Scott wants to do it. How do you do a sequel to Gladiator?
He died.
More Gladiators?
I know, it's weird.
A different Gladiator?
Maybe.
Gladiator was almost my pick, but I chose X-Men. I just, you know.
Yeah, it was the first time
first time we saw Hugh as Wolverine. Your 2000 pick, Frank?
The Patriot.
Ooh, yeah, I like that movie.
I have the whatever special edition or whatever on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And then I bought the Blu-ray. The Blu-ray just looks amazing.
He's the ghost.
My biggest, you know, it's just so clear.
My biggest thing with the Patriot is, it's like,
man, you cannot go against fighting for this country.
I think, well, here's the problem. There's two problems I have with the Patriot. And now I'm not saying it's a terrible film. It's an okay film. Is one, it's not even based on real history. It's based on a history event, but they made up the characters for the film, so it bothers me. Two, they were trying to capture Braveheart twice, is what they were doing with that film. And it's like, and it's not Mel Gibson's fault because he didn't write and direct it. I think it was directed by Roland Emmerich, actually. And it's like,
but that
I felt like I was watching The Patriot. Like, I was like, okay, I'm watching Braveheart in the Revolutionary War. That's what I felt like when I was watching it. But it's not a terrible film. It was Heath Ledger, one of his early roles, you know. But, it, you know, your choice. 01.
Who are you talking to? Matt?
Whoever wants to go.
Fast and the Furious.
We're done.
Oh. I got two, The Lord of the Rings and Monsters, Inc.
You mean The Fellowship of the Ring?
Yes, the first one.
Yep.
Smarter choice, Frank. Way to go. High five. Thank you. Yeah. Fast and Furious. 2002. I have The Two Towers.
Two Towers.
Same here.
And I also have Equilibrium as honorable mention.
Ooh, yes.
A film that all three of us have loved over the years. 2003, Return of the King.
Return of the King.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to beat those three in those years.
Oh, man, every December we...
I was looking forward to going and seeing it.
Me and you were talking about how every December, it's like we couldn't wait to see it opening night. Christmas Eve.
So in 2004...
Oh, you can... hang on, time out. Ask Mark. For those 3 years, I think I went and saw it with him, his family, my family, and then somebody else. I think I saw each one of those three movies at least three times.
Back then, you could go to the movies 3 or 4 times, and it only cost you $20. Now it costs you $20 for the movie once.
Yes. But the people would give you shit by the third time of seeing it. I'm like an hour in, and I'm asleep.
Well, I do remember we went back to see The Two Towers. Or no, remember they added footage for The Two Towers at the end of Fellowship, like 4 or 5 weeks into it? So we went back to watch it just to watch the footage they show for The Two Towers.
Yeah.
Great films. I mean, you know, really great. 2004, who wants to go?
Man on Fire. Denzel. It's my favorite Denzel
movie. I won't knock you on that pick. It's Tony Scott. Good film. Scott Glenn's in it. One of my favorite actors.
Mm-hmm. I went with Hellboy.
Ooh, yeah.
Good film,
that
too.
That was a close second.
I went with Spider-Man, too. You know, the Raimi film. So all three of those good picks Spider-Man that year. That, 04 was a good year.
Yeah.
05, I'll stay right here. Batman Begins.
Same here.
Revenge of the Sith.
Over that Batman, was the other one we were going to punch you. I didn't hit you that hard.
I had to.
Not over Batman.
I didn't mean to hit you that hard. Man. You kind of leaned into it. I apologize.
Redemption Time is your 06 pick better.
Oh, let's see.
2006.
Casino Royale. Better.
Better.
Yeah, I also had Casino Royale.
I went with Pan's Labyrinth, which I bet you've never seen.
Yes.
Have you seen Pan's Labyrinth?
I
think Pan's Labyrinth.
Mark and I actually went to the theater to see it together.
Great visually. Anyway.
Yeah. 2007. Who wants to go?
Frank.
I picked Transformers.
I was hyped to see Transformers.
Because I enjoyed it. I actually liked that one. I was hyped when the first trailer came out for that, and you heard the transforming sound.
Mm-hmm.
I got a boner.
What?
I got a boner anyway. For it. So
Superbad. Awesome.
I like
quotes.
Superbad.
It was a fresh take on comedy.
And Mark and I even saw that together at the
theater.
This
is probably my oddest pick because I remember looking at 07. There weren't a lot that stood out for me. I went with Into the Wild.
Okay.
Probably the most oddball film in my entire list, but I think it's a good movie. Maybe the Eddie Vedder soundtrack helps
a
little bit.
That's why I was thinking. Okay.
But 2008, I'm pretty sure I think I know we all three picked.
The movie that we all went to go see together.
Yeah, The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
But still the standard for comic movies. 09, Frank, what you got?
Avatar. I just like the feel and the color, especially in 3D. That's when you felt like 3D finally arrived. Compared to the old green or red and blue glasses that you actually, when like that real D3D took hold, you know, you didn't have that distortion. Because in all those other movies, you always felt that separation of color. This one, it was seamless. Like you finally felt like 3D came to life and something.
Wow. He's getting super
excited. So the colors popped off the screen, especially when he's walking with the girl, and those little light-colored, like, little things are flying around, and they're coming at you.
Watch it now, like, almost 10 years later, and, like, man, the CGI stands out. Like, that scene you're talking about, it looked really cool in theaters. You watch it now, you're like, It looks cartoonish.
Everything always gets better.
What do you have for 09?
Star Trek.
Same here, Star Trek.
I didn't see it until recently, but...
But I do like
Star Trek. As much as I love The Force Awakens, and it hurts me to say this as a Star Wars fan, Abrams' Star Trek is a better movie than The Force Awakens.
No,
it really is. 2010, Matt, what you got?
Kick-Ass. I liked it.
Fun film. I've got... This is a year I picked two because they're opposite ends of the spectrum. The Book of Eli on one end, ultra violent, and the other end, right. Toy Story 3.
Oh, yeah.
See, I went with How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Yeah. 2011. Who wants to go?
Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows, Part 2.
I still haven't watched the last two Harry Potter films.
Really?
I just stopped. Never watched the last two.
The battle between him and Voldemort.
After Dumbledore died, I just stopped.
I was like, damn it, why do you have to die? I'm pissed.
I'll go Rise of the Planet of the Apes. That's my 2011.
Ooh, I also like that movie, but I went with Captain America.
Ooh, yeah, Captain America, the first Avenger.
2012, yes. Frank, stay with you.
I'm pretty much the same one we all went with. Avengers? The Dark Knight Rises.
No, Avengers.
I went with Wreck-It Ralph.
Ooh, oh, that's right.
Hey, give me back my medal. You already know how I feel about the Avengers. I think it's overblown.
I like Rick
and Ralph. 2013 from Matt.
Thor: The Dark World. I thought, for me, Thor went in the direction that I wanted it to go.
When you hear my pick, you're gonna be like, "Wait, I should have picked that." Uh-oh. Pacific Rim.
Yeah, oh,
it's way better, visual. More fun that, movie than the Dark World.
That was my pick too. Pacific Rim.
2014, Frank.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Captain America: Civil War.
You mean Winter Soldier?
Winter Soldier. Yeah, sorry.
But Guardians was fun. That's a hard pick. Guardians was fun.
This was a tough year. 14 was an amazingly good year. I have two. I picked John Wick and The Raid 2.
Which are also really good, too.
Yeah, those are also.
When you're going in that direction, yes, I love them. They're both really great action films. I mean, like...
Do you ever watch The Raid 2?
Yes, I have it. Or do I have Raid 1?
I know you watched Raid 1 with me.
I don't remember if I have Raid 2 or not.
You remember if you saw it, too. The kitchen fight at the end is one of the greatest fights you'll ever watch in a movie.
Yeah.
2015.
Matt.
Force Awakens.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Mad Max.
Yeah. I love. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I love Star Wars, The Force Awakens. You know I do. But Mad Max Fury Road, I think it's... We did our Jedi Awards that we do at the end of the year, and I almost regret not picking Mad Max. Because the more I watch it, I'm like, man, this is really awesome.
I think I would watch Mad Max more than...
But I make up for it in 2016. I chose Rogue One.
Me too.
Civil War.
I think Rogue One's a better movie.
It is.
I love Civil War for Spider-Man and certain elements in it. But Rogue One, after rewatching...
When does that come out on DVD? Is it out on DVD?
Civil War's been out on DVD.
Yeah. I don't own it.
But after rewatching Rogue One the other day, I took it in more. I saw it in theaters and I liked it, but I wasn't... I still don't put it above Empire or Force Awakens as far as a film, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rogue One and Force Awakens are pretty neck and neck as far as the new era's Disney.
But
I realized how good Rogue One is after watching it again. And so 2017 so far, I mean, Logan.
Yeah.
Logan.
Yeah.
Logan.
I mean, that's obviously the best.
So far, I've seen other movies, but nothing's better than Logan this year.
That's obviously been the best thing out so far. And real quick, we forgot to mention in news briefs, rumor is that DC is going to bring in Josh Whedon to do Batgirl. And, I like Firefly and Serenity. I've mentioned this on the show before. People who are longtime listeners know that I'm not the biggest Josh Whedon guy. I think he's okay. I think he's kind of arrogant at times. So is DC worried? Are they doing this to think that Whedon can save the DC Films universe? Or are they just doing it because they think that Whedon can make a really good, Star Wars or Batgirl film,
I think maybe they see him as a... someone that maybe contributed a lot more than he maybe really did to Avengers. I think it could have been done better with another director, but, it's probably a name.
That's what I'm thinking. And, we know he left Marvel because I think there were some creative differences, falling outs there. He didn't want to do the third Avengers. So maybe he's just like, hey, I'm going to go try DC.
Just kind of wondering what kind of Batgirl he's going to give us. More of a classic kick-ass Batgirl or an overly sexualized.
I don't think they'll do that.
I don't want that kind of Batgirl. I think comic book movies
have done a good job staying away from that.
No, not really. I want more of the Wonder Woman style of a Batgirl, you know?
I think comic
books... a respectable character.
I think comic movies have done a good job away with that. I think there's certain characters that, like Harley Quinn, plays to that, and that's okay. I don't see any reason to play Batgirl to that. There's no reason for it at all.
That's what I'm hoping.
I don't think he'll do that. I really don't.
Margot Robbie said, like, after Suicide Squad, she wanted to make an all-female movie.
Birds
of Prey, yeah.
So, you know, we'll see where he goes with it. Right now, let's just see how Wonder Woman and Justice League turn out this year for DC Films, and let's hope that they get on the right track. Not that I think they're that far off the track. I think people are a little unfairly harsh sometimes to DC Films because they're used to Marvel.
I think some Marvel fanboys that are just bashing
the crap out
of it.
We have to be patient and see where they go with it. So, you know, we'll see. So, that was Movies of Our Lives from 1974 with the old man of the group, Frank, up to 2017.
Just having to bring that shit
and, we still have a lot coming this year, so something may surpass Logan, but for now, it's the best movie this year. And make sure you follow us on Facebook and Twitter and our social media so you can find it all at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. And take a moment to hit the iTunes link on the page there and leave us a quick 5-star review. It really helps out. And anything else that I miss?
No, but I was just thinking, I wrote down my list on a little piece of paper, and I was just thinking, man, if Texas ever legalizes marijuana, I can write my list on some rolling paper and smoke this shit.
and that's a perfect ending to our resident that we claim that he's given us our slogan, Jason Mees, even though he's sober now, but I'm sure he still smokes some weed with Kevin Smith.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, trustmeandjaya.com, just go there and do it! This has been
Matt the Electric Monkey,
Frank T. Biscuit.
This has been Mark. Until next time, just go there and do it.
This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Man. I love Houston. I love podcasting. But what I really love is the Rebel Radio podcast.